This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in here. Sharp Money, Christmas Eve edition. And I am joined by a very special guest here. We got Mark Malusis, someone I was just bonding over Podoki with. Which, if you don't know, you should know. Mark, how's it going? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to those celebrating. And it's good to be with you, Mike, filling in this week and looking forward to it.
Yeah, going to be a fun show here. We are going to rip through all of these Saturday, Sunday, and Monday NFL games here from this week of football. We're going to go back and cover the Christmas games last. So if you want to hear about the Christmas games, it's going to be at the end of the pod, as always. So go through the games. We'll talk about the openers. We'll talk about plays that we have so that you are completely up to date on what's happening in the market and what is going on around the NFL this week. And with that, we will kick off here, Mark, on Saturday, our first game. We've got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Green Bay Packers. A lot of questions around the quarterback here. Is Jordan Love still in concussion protocol? We got Lamar with a back injury on top of the leg injuries that he's been dealing with. Not sure what's going to happen with both of them as of yet. Right now, Green Bay 3 across the board, a little juice toward Green Bay, total sitting at 40.5. What's your look here?
Yeah, my look would be the Packers. I mean, you have Harbaugh down in Baltimore talking about his future and whether or not he's going to remain as head coach of the Baltimore Ravens past this season. I mean, Lamar has not looked right for months. And you mentioned he got knocked out of that Patriot game with that back injury. You look at the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they lost a game against Chicago on Saturday night that they never should have lost. I mean, it was a miraculous comeback, but it's the cardiac Bears, Mike. We've seen it all year long with the Chicago Bears that do just enough to find a way to win the game. And every week we wait for the bubble to burst, and it doesn't seem to burst. So you look at Green Bay. Is their pass rush the same without Micah Parsons? No. How could it possibly be, right? When you look at Jordan Love, he can make all the throws in the world, but the question you have with Love is, what version are you going to get from him week in and week out? I would lean Packers here. I think you're going to look at the Baltimore Ravens and look at the fact that they missed their window the past 2 years when they failed in the playoffs and a loss against the Chiefs and a loss against the Buffalo Bills, one at home, one on the road. The Andrews drop a year ago in the cold up there in Buffalo, but I would lean Green Bay in the game.
Yeah, I was banging the table last year that it was Baltimore's year. And if they couldn't do it, if not, then when? And now you're in a situation where we're starting to see the degradation of this team getting a little bit older. The defense not been nearly as good this year as what we saw last year. And the market still doesn't know how to price Baltimore. That was wildly apparent last week against the Patriots, where they're installed as a 3.5-point favorite by the time we got to kickoff. That was too high. This feels too low. I don't understand how you get to Baltimore being within 3 points of Green Bay if Love is healthy. And let's be honest, we're later in the year here. Concussions heal faster in the NFL. I'd be surprised if Love doesn't go in this game. And if Love goes with or without Lamar, I think they should be over a 3-point favorite here. So I agree with you. I think it's the Packers here. And you mentioned the comeback last week. Kind of felt like that was inevitable, didn't it, Mark? I mean, the Bears, yeah, not only with like 6-7 comebacks here in the fourth quarter, but this is the third game that we've seen this Green Bay Packers team blow late in the game as well. We had the Cleveland game, then we also had the Carolina game. Just seems like a team that kind of struggles to put some of these games away. So I agree with you. I think it's Green Bay or pass here to kick off this weekend slate. Moving forward, next game on Saturday, the Houston Texans take on the Los Angeles Chargers in LA. And this one's been interesting because it opened with both teams as a 1.5 favorite, depending on where you wanted to shop. Money consistently coming in on the Chargers here. Got it as high as -2.5 to the Chargers. We've taken some Texans money back, sitting on 1.5, total sitting at 30.5 in this spot. And to me, Mark, the big question is, what is this Chargers offensive line going to be able to do against this massive Houston pass rush? And are they going to be able to keep Herbert upright the majority of the game?
Yeah, it's a great question. But I think when you look at Harbaugh and you look at the job that he's done this year, coaching matters in the National Football League. And Herbert's been able to deal with the fact, and now dealing with a fracture in his left hand for the past couple games, Mike, has been able to deal with the fact that he doesn't have his two big starting tackles, Slater and Ault, both done for the year, right? And he came into the season thinking that they had the best tackle combination in the National Football League. Positive that they've gotten Omarion Hampton back, the rookie out of Carolina, the past couple of games. So coaching matters in the NFL. I think the Chargers, along with Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, are a perfect case in point. But I think you bring up the pressure point to this game, which is, can the offensive line deal with Anderson and company, Danielle Hunter and company, and for everybody's money, the best defense in the National Football League when you're looking at the Houston Texans. And even despite my love affair with Jim Harbaugh, I'm leaning Houston in the game. I really am, because I think the Texans are dangerous. You know, they're riding the winning streak. I think it's a little bit of a reaction. As we see week to week in the National Football League, you never know. You can't look at last week and think it's going to be an indicator of this week. Everything could be completely and utterly different. I understand the Raiders all of a sudden scared the Houston Texans and played that game within a field goal, and they were a 14.5-point dog in the game, Mike. But I think Houston bounces back in a big-time way. Maybe that was a look-ahead spot for the Texans, thinking that, you know, the Raiders were just terrible. The Raiders all of a sudden put themselves into it. Genty had themselves a game. I think the Texans are going to be super dangerous when they eventually punch their ticket for the playoffs in the AFC based on that defense. Would like to see a little bit more from that offense, but I think C.J. Stroud understands that if I just take care of the football, I don't have to do much. That defense is going to keep me into games. I'm leaning Houston in the game.
Yeah, this is one of those. I thought we were going to go heads up for a second there, because you made it sound like you were going to make the Chargers case. I like the Texans in this game as well. It's funny how people have dropped their Texans ratings based off of that Raiders game. They sleptwalked through that entire game. I think the worst possible thing for Houston was the pick six early in the game, because that kind of validated their feelings that they didn't really need to play their A game to be able to beat the Raiders. They end up pulling it out. The offense regressed from what we had seen the previous 4 or 5 weeks. I think the offense is going to be a little bit better here. I do lean Houston. I like the under. Give me under 39.5. These are two of the more conservative head coaches. I think they both, which, you know, the Chargers defense top 10 over the last 6 weeks in the NFL. I think they're both going to try and rely on their defense here. And the key for me is Houston. Well, they rush the passer exceptionally well. They don't allow the quarterback to run. And Herbert's legs have been a big part of this Chargers offense being successful when he has faced a lot of pressure. I think that's advantage Houston there. I also think it's advantage toward the under. I think we get a low scoring game here on Saturday night. So give me under 39.5 in that spot. In a game that won't be low scoring, as we move to Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals in an electric offense, but a terrible defense, takes on kind of their clone in the Cincinnati Bengals here. Joe Burrow and the Bengals installed as a 7.5-point favorite. Total as high as 53.5 in the market. You can get a 52 flat if you want it over at Circa. This feels like it's just going to be up and down the field. Fun prop game. Fun game if you're playing anytime touchdowns. Tough to want to go over 52, though. So where are you looking here in the Bengals and the Cardinals?
Yeah, a lot of points, but you're right. I mean, 52 is a big number when you're looking at it, Mike. I look at it as being motivation. And I understand both teams have got nothing to play for, right? Their seasons have been lost a long, long time ago. I think Burrow is motivated, right? I think if you listen to Burrow after, you know, that Ravens game and the frustration that he showed, given the fact that he missed 3 months after undergoing the turf toe surgery, and people are speculating whether or not his future remained in Cincinnati. Then you listen to Burrow after last week's performance where they scored 40-plus points against the Miami Dolphins, and he went out there and had a superlative performance. It was a different quarterback. And I think Joe Burrow's motivated. I think he loves football. I think he wants to put on a show. I trust him more than anybody else. I know it's 7.5, depending on what book you're looking at, Mike, but I would lean the Bengals in the game. I'm not telling you Arizona's not going to score. Arizona's defense is terrible. The Bengals' defense is terrible, right? So both teams should be able to put up points. But if you're asking me which quarterback is going to be more efficient, despite the uptick in Jacoby Brissett this year, I'd lean Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and that's the side that I would choose, and that's the lean and one of my picks of the week.
Yeah, I like the Bengals here. To me, it's a great teaser game. If you're sitting there at 7.5, and you're looking for somebody to pair it with, I think dropping them down to a point and a half is a good spot, because I do think they win this football game. I'm going to lean into a prop here. And I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head here. Joe Burrow is sitting at 256.5 passing yards in this game. He's going to have Higgins. He's going to have Chase. This is a very bad defense, but an offense that can push you, which is the perfect setup for a passing yard over, because Burrow is going to have to keep slinging it into the second half. I think Burrow over 256.5 passing yards, one of the better looks from a prop perspective this week. And what, if nothing else, should at least be a fun game. I don't mind fun games late in the season when you've got two eliminated teams. Give me offense. Give me entertainment. We're going to get that there in Cincinnati this week. A game which may not have offense, may not be as entertaining. The Seattle Seahawks head to Carolina in a game that is fascinating, because Carolina is still very much in the playoff race. They've got a Week 18 game coming up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So a little bit of a look-ahead spot here. Seattle needs this one like blood if they want the number one seed in the NFC. Because of that, It's kind of pushed out to a number I can't get to in my power ratings. The Seahawks, a 7-point favorite, total sitting at 42, 42 and a half, depending on where you shop. Are you worried about motivation here for the Panthers? Or do you think they try and keep steaming through? Because if the Panthers are motivated, feels like a touchdown might be a little bit too much.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm necessarily worried about motivation, but I understand the point. And, you know, it's all going to come down to the Tampa game, week 18 for the Carolina Panthers, right? So you look at it, and the Buccaneers are taking on the Miami Dolphins this week. So what exactly is Dave Canales? But I do think at this stage of the season, I think you're playing with fire, especially if you're the Carolina Panthers and think, you know what? We're going to take a little bit of a break, mental break, because we understand what next week does mean. Because I think they would want to continue the momentum moving forward after their victory at home this past Sunday over Baker and the Buccaneers. So motivation doesn't worry me. I just don't know if I can get to that number with Seattle on the road. As much as I'm a Sam Darnold fan, I like the defense. Who doesn't love Jackson Smith and Jigba and what the Seattle Seahawks have been able to do offensively in that passing game this year? But do I look at them as being that kind of a team? I look at Carolina. I think they could be able to run it. If I get the good version of Bryce Young, who's hitting Tet McMillan, I think they could play within that number. You know, I would lean Carolina plus the points, because I think Dave Canales and company, they're playing well right now. I don't think they want to play with fire and think about the fact of, let's put all our eggs in the basket of the Tampa game the next week and take a break this week.
I agree with you. I mean, there is a chance Tampa loses to Miami, because yes, Tampa's tamping every now and then, right? And they've been on a slide here. And so if you can win the division, if you win and Tampa loses, so you might as well go out and try and put forth your best effort here. And with all I said about the look ahead for Carolina, Seattle's got San Francisco on deck. Yep. And that's the number one for the NFC if they are able to win this football game. And so you've got that factor of looking ahead inside the division for both of these teams here. The sevens are all juiced -115 toward the Seattle side. I'm going to hang out. And if I can get a 7.5 flat with Carolina, that I think is an entry point on this game, because I agree with you. I think this Carolina defense has been a little bit underrated, and people seem to have forgotten, Mark, this Seattle offense wasn't good for like 3-4 straight weeks. And then you had one good quarter and an overtime against the Rams, but they weren't good early in that game either. So are we just assuming we're going to get good Seattle offense back again? To me, that's a tough assumption to make.
I agree. And listen, I think you're looking also at a Carolina secondary that has shown you to be aggressive and to be ball hawkish. And you've got a quarterback as well in Sam Darnold that at times, as we saw in that Ram game, at times has a tendency to turn the football over. So that would lean me. Listen, I think Seattle on the money line, I think Seattle wins the game. But in terms of a spread, and I agree with in terms of the entry point, if I can get 7.5 with Carolina, I would take it.
Going from a game with a ton of playoff implications to a game with, well, the number one pick implications here. We've got the New York Giants headed to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. The Raiders installed as a 1 to 1.5 point favorite pretty much everywhere. You can get a pick at Circa if you're into that type of thing. Total sitting at 41.5 across the board. I want to start with the Giants here. Because I talked a lot about their game plan was going to try and make Jackson Dart a pocket passer. Threw for 33 yards last week. Clearly was told, don't run. 2 runs for 7 yards, no designed runs. What do you make of this Giants offense if Dart is forced to just throw it from the pocket? And are we going to see them run the football for an entire quarter before they let him cut it loose?
I mean, I think he had to get to like the 144 mark of the second quarter against Minnesota before he threw the ball. I mean, it was just crazy. And you've got a young, dynamic quarterback. And I understand maybe you put the training wheels on because it's Flores and it's that defense. And Brian Flores has done a wonderful job as a defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. But, Mike, make it make sense. Like, you sit back and you're watching that game and your eyes are bleeding. Like, you've got a young, dynamic first-year quarterback that's enlivened the organization, and you're like, you know what? We're going to take the ball away from you and out of your hands and the creativity. And listen, does he need to play smarter? Yeah, we all see it. You can't go out there and take 15 to 20 hits per game in the National Football League as quarterback and expect to be sustainable. That's just not going to happen. But to basically cut them off at the knees and take them and basically say, we're not going to allow you to do what you do, to me makes little to no sense. The Giants will go out there and defend it. Listen, Kafka's not going to be the answer as the head coach for the New York Giants, stepping in for Brian Daboll as the interim head coach. And when you look at this game, you know, Giants have been beset with a lot of injuries. You look at it, Andrew Thomas, their franchise left tackle, suffered a hamstring injury in that game against the Minnesota Vikings. Defensively, there's been great regression even after the firing of Shane Bowen. I mean, I like to use the phrase, Mike, this is for friends and family. Like, you sit back and watch this game, this is for friends and family. It really is. Am I going to come on this podcast with you filling in this week and say, I love the Giants or I really am bullish on the Raiders? No, because I have no idea what we're going to get from either of those teams. It's like a roll of the dice.
To me, last week was a missed opportunity. Like, you're saying training wheels of the Flores defense, I would take them off. Yeah. I'd be like, let's find out. Let's give him experience in a game that is completely irrelevant and let him try and deal with this disguises on the defensive side. See how he handles it. See what we need to work on moving forward. The idea that you went the opposite direction to me is absolutely baffling, because let's be honest, you don't mind Dart throwing three picks in that game. You don't mind him being confused because you kind of want to lose anyway. The pieces in New York, I actually am excited about. You've got a number one wide receiver. You seem like you've got your quarterback of the future. You got a left tackle. You got to get more draft capital. And if you end up with the number one pick here, you can trade it for a king's ransom. Like, to me, it just makes a ton of sense for them to try and lose out here. As far as this game, I got no clue motivationally what either of these teams are going to come up with. Defensive props aren't out yet. If I went with anything, it would be a Brian Burns sack in this game. This is a terrible offensive line. Geno Smith enjoys getting sacked. To me, that's the route you want to take here. But this is one of those where I don't mind shooting this one to the moon and not investing any of my hard-earned money right around Christmas on the Giants and the Raiders total or side. Next game up, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 9-6 and going to be a playoff team, headed into Cleveland, who is 3-12. Yet Pittsburgh laying just a field goal in this spot. The total sitting at a paltry 33.5 or 34 here, Mark. Do you believe in Shador? Can he cover at home yet again here, getting just 3 points?
Yeah, probably not. I've been impressed with Pittsburgh, Mike. Like, you have to, like, sometimes during an NFL season, you have to take a step back and look at where teams are trending. Got to give Rodgers and the Steelers credit. I mean, they're trending in the right direction, right? Going on the road, beating the Ravens, you know, taking care of business against the Miami Dolphins, then basically, you know, ended any motivation down there in South Beach for the Miami Dolphins. And we saw their performance a week ago against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then to go on the road in Detroit against a desperate Dan Campbell-led Lion team, and to limit that ground game for the Lions as well as they did, it was really remarkable. I mean, and you look at this Steeler team. Now, listen, it's a division game. We know Garrett is a full sack away from breaking the new sack record in the National Football League. Those are all things that are motivating the Cleveland Browns. I haven't seen enough from Shador Sanders to think that. I know it's a small number. I think the number is begging you to take the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you're looking at it and you're saying, well, how is a Pittsburgh only a field goal favorite against the Cleveland Browns? So to me, it's more of a stay away, but I would be stunned and surprised if the Cleveland Browns were right outright victorious on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I think that team's trending in the right direction.
You hit the key point for me as to why I can't bet Cleveland. If I'm betting a dog, I have to believe you can win the football game.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to walk through this and say, okay, Cleveland's going to find a way to win this football game. Catching three, I don't want to sit here and hope for a field goal game where I'm just pushing, right? If this was at 4.5, somewhere in that range, I'm probably on Cleveland in this spot. To me, Chicago, who you mentioned earlier, the Cardiac Kids and Pittsburgh, two of the toughest teams to rate and two of the well-performing teams I have lower rated inside of my rankings right now. I do want to lean into the run game here for Pittsburgh, though. This is a spot where we've seen the Cleveland Browns really struggle against explosive runs. We saw Cook last week. We've seen them essentially since week 10 be one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL. I think that especially without DK Metcalf, this is a Pittsburgh team that wants to try and really rely on the run game. If that's the case, I'll look at Warren props is rushing over. That's not listed yet, so you have to wait for that to come up. But to me, Warren over props is definitely one that you want to look at here. Headed to a interesting game. And one that I ironically have a lot of money on here, the New Orleans Saints laying 2.5 on the road against the Tennessee Titans here. I am not driving the Shuck Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year bandwagon, as I know people have they're 250-1 on it. I've got numbers that were 1 week later than that. He was 25-1 last week when we talked about him. He's down to plus 350 to win Rookie of the Year on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to end with a winning record as the Saints quarterback. Let me say that again. He is going to end with a winning record as the Saints quarterback this year. I think he keeps the train rolling this week, too. I think that Tennessee game against Cincinnati or against Kansas City last week is an anomaly. That was a dead Chiefs team. I think that the New Orleans Saints roll and cover easily here. So one of my official plays is going to be the Saints -2.5. You could have gotten this at 1 on Sunday when we talked about it on the pod. But I love the Saints in this spot, Mark.
Yeah, Mike, I'm with you. You know, and I'm with you on Chuck. I'm with you. I think, you know, they put him into that starting lineup, replacing Spencer Rattler for a reason to figure out, okay, let's see exactly what we have in him before we enter the draft in the spring. And I think you're slowly but surely seeing the answer that they have probably found their solution at the quarterback spot. I've been impressed with the way that Kellen Moore has coached that team year one as a head coach. And let's be honest, the New Orleans Saints defensively have been one of the better defenses in the National League for the better part of the last 5-6 weeks. And I totally agree. Like, you look at this from the outside, and if you're not paying attention all season long, people would be like, well, Tennessee just destroyed Kansas City, so therefore I'm going to take them against New Orleans. No, no. I think you hit upon it. Kansas City, basically, that was more of an indictment on Kansas City than all of a sudden Tennessee turning a corner. And yeah, they were down to their third-string quarterback. They looked like they wanted no part of playing football. And I get it. Mahomes done for the year, out of the playoff contention. Give me New Orleans. We talked about Pittsburgh trending in the right direction. The Saints are also trending in the right direction. I'm with you. I love the New Orleans Saints this weekend against Tennessee.
Since week 10. New Orleans Saints, the 8th best defense in the NFL. Last 5 weeks, the 4th best pressure rate in the NFL. The defense has woken up as we've seen the offense start to get rolling as well. Very underrated Saints team in the market to me right now. Laid them last week. I will lay them again this week on the road. Hopefully we can continue the Shuck train here and get that that nice ticket home there. Down in Florida, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers headed in to take on the Miami Dolphins, where we may see temperatures in the 70s for this this game in December. The Bucs on an absolute slide right now. Baker Mayfield just doesn't look right. They are laying 5.5, 6, depending on where you shop, against the Dolphins. Total at 45.5. Game 2 of the Quinn Ewers era for Miami. I thought positive results. I realized that it got away from them in this third quarter against the Bengals, but to me that first half was a well-played half, and Ewers was willing to stretch and push the ball down the field, something we have not seen from Tua. This is one of those games where it feels like the variety of results is very extreme here. Like, it's hard for me to really nail down exactly what I expect to happen because of that. Tough game for me to bet. What do you think about this Bucs Dolphins game?
Yeah, it would not be a game I would stay away. To me, it's kind of a roll of the dice when you look at both teams right now in terms of Miami and Tampa Bay. Like, at Tampa Bay, the wheels have come off when you look at it. Baker, at one point in time, first 6-7 weeks of this NFL regular season was, you know, a top of the MVP markets, right? And suffered that shoulder injury against the Rams. Missing guys that are wide open, throwing a high, everything that you've seen from it. And he's gotten the guys back. Godwin's back. Evans back. Obviously, Ibuka has been there for the better part of the season, has gotten, you know, his big time running back and Bucky Irving back as well. So you look at it, I don't know what to get from Tampa. You know, they could talk all the good game. I think it's a perfect case in point of a team that peaked, you know, first 6-7 weeks of this NFL regular season, and now you're seeing the aftermath of it. So for Miami, it'll be interesting to see Quinn Ewers. I don't disagree with your assessment. I think they were better first half than obviously they were in the second half. We'll see exactly what he does start number two. I think he should be able to move the football on that Buccaneers defense based on the way that they're playing as of late. But to me, it's a stay-away game. I don't have a strong lean one side or the other. If you do, good luck to you. If you're saying, oh, I'm all in on Baker and the Bucs, God bless. I'm not gonna fight you off on it. I'm just not there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe the over, if you can get a 45 flat, if that ever comes into the market. But to me, this is a tough game to be able to figure out exactly what we're going to get from both of these football teams. Another fascinating game to me here. The Jacksonville Jaguars in division take on the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Jags, 6.5-point favorites across the board. Total sitting at 48.5. There is a 47.5 in the market as well. Another week of Phillip Rivers here. I thought that the offense looked much better on Monday night. They pushed the ball down the field. They were more aggressive from a passing perspective than I expected. Defensive matchup is a big time step up in class here. That San Francisco defense, they've been absolutely destroyed by injuries throughout the season. This Jacksonville defense was relying on turnovers early in the season. They have just been playing good football toward the later half of the season. This is another one where I kind of want to take the over, but I don't fully trust Phillip Rivers here against this Jags defense. This is another tough game to bet for me, especially sitting right around a touchdown. Do you like anything here in the Jags-Colts game?
I would probably lean Jacksonville. It's hard for me to convince myself of taking Indy, even though I love the River story. I mean, it's great.
It's
I miss him in the NFL.
It's awesome.
I mean, it's 5 years out of league, grandfather coaching high school football, and he steps in and, you know, it's an indictment of where the quarterback room is now across the National Football League, but it just shows you how special of a competitor he is, and I miss his fieriness and feistiness week in and week out. I think I'd probably lean more the bubble burst for the Colts on Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers. Jacksonville with a heck of a victory against Denver on Sunday against the Broncos. Their defense is playing well. They played well in all three phases and have got a field goal kicker that's got the best leg in the National Football League. I'd lean Jaguars in the game, and I'm concerned about where that Colts defense is, especially with the way that they got torn apart by Brock Purdy and the 49ers on Monday night.
Yeah, it's going to be on Rivers' arm to be able to keep them in this football game. They're going to stack the box, take away Jonathan Taylor, and say, okay, beat us with Phillip Rivers trying to push the ball downfield against what's been a good Jacksonville secondary. I think Jacksonville gets a couple turnovers here. I think that really makes the difference. I agree with you. It would be Jags or pass in that spot. I have a slight lean to the over, but I don't think I'm going to get to the window simply because I'm worried about this Jacksonville defense being able to really slow down the Indianapolis Colts. In one of the larger spreaded games of the week, the New England Patriots laying 13.5 on the road, taking on the New York Jets and Brady Cook. Total sitting at 42-44, as the spread is pretty wide depending on where you want to bet this total. Important game for the Patriots still. They want to get the job done. The Jets kind of want to lose anyway to continue getting their draft pick. 13.5, though, that is the real question. Is 13.5 too much here, or do you think the Patriots just step on the Jets' throat?
No, I think they probably step on the Jets' throat. I mean, think about, like, we talk about motivation. The Jets are rolling Brady Cook, who is non-competitive against New Orleans, out there. Why Tyrod Taylor is still healthy, and Aaron Glenn is saying it's important to win games. Make it make sense, Mike. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth when you're looking at it. So, am I comfortable in the NFL in any week laying double digits? I'm not. Like, so, it you know, just similar with the Jacksonville game now to probably more to the nth degree. To me, it would be Patriots or nothing. And if you want to stay away because it's too big of a spread, I don't blame you. Just because it's such a week-to-week league in the NFL, the Patriots coming off the, you know, come-from-behind victory against the Baltimore Ravens and say, well, maybe they take a little bit of a step back in their performance and they don't give you their A-plus effort. Maybe the Jets, after getting embarrassed by New Orleans, they play significantly better and that game's played within the margin. That's fair. You can make it. But I can't sit here doing this podcast with you, Mike, and say, you know what, give me Brady Cook and 13.5 in the New York Jets, and I'm feeling really good about that on Sunday.
I love you're high on these New York teams, aren't you? Just pounding the table for the Jets and the Giants here. It would be the points or pass for me, because I'm worried this is just kind of a sleepy spot. You get a kind of similar to that Texans Raiders game last week, but I won't be running to the window to bet it. I'll tell you that much. But if you gave me $100, I would put it on the Jets plus the points here. But I do expect that the Patriots win, and much like we said earlier, it's hard for me to take dogs unless I think there is a legitimate chance for them to be able to win the football game. I think that's going to be hard-pressed for the New York Jets in this spot. In what is probably the marquee game on Sunday, I guess the next one could have a case made too, but the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Buffalo Bills. We've got the Bills installed as a 1.5-point favorite across the board. Total 43.5-44.5, depending on where you shop it here. And Mark, we've done shows together before. I've not gotten your Eagles take yet this year. What do you make of this Philadelphia Eagles team and the locker room vibes that surround them? Because it feels to me a lot like the Eagles 2 years ago when they had that slide at the end of the season and got bounced by the Bucks more than it feels like the Eagles last year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, Mike. It does feel like that. I don't think it's as bad as it was 2 years ago, and they lost that playoff game on the road in Tampa against Baker and the Buccaneers. I think that was the Saturday night game where the wheels came off. And similar scenario, both they lost, you know, their coordinators and Kellen Moore left, obviously, in the offseason to become the Saints head coach. It hasn't looked right. Passing game hasn't looked right. A.J. Brown has been drama-filled throughout the course of the year. Offensive line, not nearly one and the same when you're looking at it. But it's difficult to repeat in the National Football League. I don't think it's as bad as it was 2 years ago, but I just don't think this Eagle team has what they had last season, which was they won the Super Bowl. We can get into Saquon and his impact, but they won because their offensive line and their defensive line was the best combination in the National Football League, and they don't have that kind of combination this year. So Now they take on Allen and the Bills. Allen continues to put on that Superman cape, doesn't have the weapons on the outside. Cook is an unbelievable running back. Get concerned about that Buffalo Bills defense, though, whether or not they're good enough to get the Bills to where they want to go, which is through the AFC playoffs without Patrick Mahomes now and get themselves to a Super Bowl.
You mentioned Lamar and the Ravens last year, and we talked about how it was last year for the Ravens. Kind of feels like it's this year for the Bills. No Mahomes, yeah. No Burrow, no Lamar. It's put up or shut up time for this Buffalo team because you clearly have the best quarterback in the AFC playoffs. And two, you could make an argument is either Herbert or May, depending on how you feel about him. But there is no doubt that Josh Allen going to be the best quarterback in the AFC playoffs. Feels like the Bills have to do it this year. I've got a lot of concerns around this Buffalo defense. There's a 43.5. Give me the over. I think this is a situation where Philadelphia can score points, but I believe in the Josh Allen Superman theory here, where he can put the cape on. Cook has been great for them. I think we get a little bit more of a shootout than people are expecting here. So give me over 43.5 in this spot as the Eagles offense starts to get a little bit right. I still don't trust them moving forward completely. Keep an eye on Lane Johnson. He did not play last week. He is trying to get back out there for him. He's a big piece of this offensive line for the Eagles. In the Sunday night game, you've got the Chicago Bears headed on the road to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Bears, 3-point favorites pretty much everywhere. Juice toward the Bears anywhere from 115 to 118. I'm sorry, juice to the Niners anywhere from 115 to 118. Total sitting at 52 or 52.5 in this spot. This is a fascinating football game because I think both of these teams are playing above their skis. And I'm not sure which one to believe in less, or I should say believe in more if we want to be positive here on a Christmas Eve. What do you make of this Niners team? What do you make of this Bears team? And how do you see this football game going?
And I know you got a pick in this game. First off, I think they're both awesome stories. Like, I love Kyle Shanahan. Like, I love Harbaugh in the AFC. I love Kyle Shanahan in the NFC. And I have utmost respect for the job that he has done as head coach for the San Francisco 49ers. Saleh, terrible head coach, wonderful defensive coordinator. They've dealt with a myriad of different injuries, you know, and even to the quarterback. And they just win. Now, you might say, well, Mark, like, their schedule is very, very favorable. I understand that. That's true. But you still give them credit for winning the games week in and week out. And so there's a brand, there's accountability, and there's a culture in San Francisco that is defined, right? The Chicago Bears have been great. I mean, they've been fun to watch. And I have a number of friends of mine that are Bear fans that are celebrating. Caleb Williams has been magical late in games. Ben Johnson, the creativity. They've dealt with injuries. They rebuilt the offensive line. They put an offensive line to give Williams a little bit more time. I think it's a fun game, and I think it's a step up in competition when you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers, and I would not be all that surprised if this magic carpet ride, it's like Aladdin, right? This magic carpet ride that the Chicago Bears have been on all season long, if it doesn't continue this week against San Francisco.
Yeah, the Bears fans hoping that Ben Johnson can show them the world championship instead of just the world there on the magic carpet ride as they continue it forward. I got a daughter. I know all about Aladdin songs. I can go deep into that song. I like the over here. This San Francisco team is a ready-built over team. You've got an offense that can move the football against anybody. You've got weapons all over the place, be it McCaffrey, be it Jennings. We'll see if Pearsall plays. Kittle up the middle. He also dealing with an injury. We'll see if he's out there. But we saw Tunjus fill in for them. I believe this San Francisco offense can move the football. And you mentioned the injuries, and I'd say you kind of undersold it. A myriad of injuries doesn't really make up for how bad this San Francisco team is banged up on the defensive side. You lost your really only pass rusher. You lost your middle linebacker. The secondary is a mess. We saw the Colts torch them with Phillip Rivers. I mean, and the people say, well, but they won the game 48-27. They gave up 27 to Phillip Rivers, and he came out throwing the football, and they were moving it up and down the field. I think Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, able to figure that out. And for the Bears fans out there, because I have been a Bears hater, I think you've got your coach. I think you should be happy it's going this well in year one. It will be better in the future. It's going to continue to get better with the Bears. Your ceiling isn't this year. Your ceiling is going to be next year or in 2 years. That's when you're going to see the best version of this Bears team. But I do think both of the offenses have the advantage in this game. There's two rogue 52s out there. If you are listening to this and you can get the 52, take over 52. I do like over 52.5 still. I think this game plays into the high 50s here in the Bears and 49ers. We'll move to Monday Night Football, where the Los Angeles Rams and your MVP favorite Matt Stafford takes on the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, they're 7.5 and 8s in the market. total sitting at 49.5 or 50 in a game that I think the Rams really need, just considering on the seeding side, they could fall all the way down to as low as the 6 or 7 seed in the AFC, in the NFC. This is a game where they want to try and get the job done so they don't have to take on road team after road team. Good, solid teams there in the NFC. What do you make of this Rams team laying 8 in Atlanta?
I would only take Rams. I would never touch the Atlanta Falcons. I think there's a discernible difference when you're looking at the two coaching staffs, McVay and Raheem Morris. Listen, Cousins has been good at quarterback since taking over for Penix. There's no doubt. Bijan Robinson, unbelievably talented. Kyle Pitts has finally showed and flashed his talent as of late. Drake London. There's a lot, but Atlanta, to me, has been poorly coached all season long. And if you're asking me going into a game, am I going to take Stafford, even with the drama around Nacua, even with Devontae Adams being banged up? But, you know, I still have Williams running the football, Corum running the football, good offensive line, speed defense, can go out there and turn you over. I would lean Rams in the game. It's hard for me, being disappointed in some of the performances I've seen this year from the Atlanta Falcons, Mike, to all of a sudden go out there and say, I'm going to take the Falcons plus the points and feel good about it. I think the Los Angeles Rams want to get healthy, especially after the mini bye. And what I mean by get healthy is put that Seattle loss behind them. And I think they take out their frustration on the Falcons on Monday night.
This, to me, one of those great teaser games this week. You can go down to 2 with the Rams. So I don't want to play the full -8, but I do think you can tease this game down to 2 points and attack the game that way. I agree with you. Raheem Morris is a mess down there from a coaching perspective in Atlanta. He is just not someone I want to back in a spot where he's taking on a far superior coach in McVay and an offensive scheme that should be able to run the football consistently against the Atlanta Falcons. So I'll go with the Rams on the teaser side of it. You like the Rams in the 8, but I think it's Rams or pass here. I'm never betting the Falcons here in this spot. Now, if you are looking for last-minute holiday gifts, don't worry. We've got you covered. You want to bet smarter this holiday season? VSiN is the perfect gift for you or that sports better in your life. Right now, you can take advantage of the holiday special and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That gives you everything that we do, including daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools for both the NFL and NBA, as well as weekly wide receiver and quarterback edge matchups, 24/7 video, full show replays over on the VSiN Watch app, and complete coverage of every major sporting event through the spring. That includes March Madness, the NFL Draft. You're going to get the Masters. Oh, by the way, that's right around Kentucky Derby time. That guide will be out before May 1st as well. We've also got the college football playoffs and the Super Bowl covered. Don't miss this limited time holiday special. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and unwrap your betting edge today. That's vsin.com/subscribe to become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. All right, Mike, we'll wrap this up here with the Wednesday games on Christmas, or I'm sorry, the Thursday games here on Christmas Day, and we'll kick it off with the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Washington Commanders. We saw this open as the Cowboys is a 3-point favorite, and this number has just grown and grown up to 7, 7.5 because of the quarterback issues we're seeing inside of Washington. Feels like we're going to get a pretty full Cowboys team. A lot of Circa Survivor implications here, as 10 entrants left in Circa Survivor. 5 of them have the Cowboys. They will be on the Cowboys. The other 5 have to decide between the 3 dogs on Christmas and which one they would like to back. I wouldn't be shocked if all 5 take the Commanders here. What is your take here on the Commanders and the Cowboys?
Yeah, I would probably, I'd lean Dallas and lay in the number. I'm more comfortable with Dallas, the shorter number, than that number having grown the way that it has. A motivation perspective, when you're looking at Washington, you know, they stupidly brought Jaden Daniels back earlier from that dislocated elbow, and then he got re-injured in the Minnesota game. I mean, it's just like, as good as it was a year ago for Washington, that's as bad as it's been this year. When you're looking at the Commanders, there's really not much pushback when you're looking at that defense. If you get a Dallas team, I think that is going to push the ball offensively and try and close this season, even though they have nothing to play for, close it out strong. I just don't see a lot that Washington's going to be able to do to repel or stop Dallas from getting into the end zone. So I think you're going to get points in the game. I'm not telling you that Washington can't score. I think they will, but I think there's limitations to what that offense is without Daniels at the quarterback position. So I would lean Cowboys in the game, even though they've got nothing to play for, and both teams have got nothing to play for.
This to me is another one of those teaser games. If you want to take the Cowboys down to 1.5, one, I think that makes sense. I like the Cowboys team total over in this spot. I want to lean into that Cowboys offense against the Commanders defense, which has been last, number 32 in the NFL with a bullet since week 10. They can't stop the pass. They can't stop the run. The Cowboys team total sitting at 27.5. You can get a first half team total out there at 13.5. I like both of those. I think this Cowboys offense consistently able to move the football down the field and get into the end zone. So for me, it's just leaning on the Cowboys offense, which is the side of the ball I really trust when you look at all four of these different units. The middle game, the Detroit Lions taking on the Minnesota Vikings. It's going to be a Max Brosmer start here for the Vikings. That's moved the number out to 7.5 for the Lions. Stop me if you've heard this before. Another decent teaser option here if you're looking to pull it down to 1.5. In a game that the Lions have to have like blood here if they want to keep any hopes of making the playoffs alive. Total sitting at 43 here, Mark. What are you looking at?
Yeah, if I'm good, I agree with you about the teaser. If I'm looking to lay enough, I can't take Brosmer. From what I've seen from him, you know, in Minnesota plus the points. I love Flores as a defensive coordinator. I do. I mean, he's not good. And I understand you're in Minnesota, Mike. He's not good. And he's a former Golden Gopher. He's not an NFL quarterback from what I've seen here so far in the National Football League. You know, Lions are on life support in terms of playoff potential in the NFC, but they need to win the game. It'd be stunning if they didn't. I just, as brilliant as Flores is as a defensive coordinator, I don't even think his defense is going to be able to hold up with the amount of pressure they're going to face in this game against Detroit and what they're going to get offensively for the Minnesota Vikings. So when I'm looking at a side, I think Detroit's going to score. I think they're looking to go out there and try and make an impression. I don't think there's going to be a ton of pushback from Minnesota offensively. To me, a great teaser leg, as you mentioned, it's either Lions or nothing in terms of a side.
Yeah, and this is a Minnesota team that is just wildly banged up. I mentioned McCarthy not going to go. Jones and Mason at the running back position, both questionable. Hockenson questionable. Darisaw on the IR. Their center, Kelly, out. Their right tackle, Brian O'Neill, questionable. It's just a banged up offense here for Minnesota. I like the teaser leg. If I laid anything, it would be laying the 7.5 there. If you want to go a little bit of just kind of buying into the game script, I don't mind Addison props to the over because I think this is going to be a Minnesota team that has to throw the football specifically in the second half here. That should help Jefferson and Addison kind of pad their stats in must throw spots. So if you want to go contrarian here, to me, Addison overs are the way to attack this football game. All right, we're going to close it out here with what I think everyone thought would be the game of the week, the game of the day on Christmas, and it has turned into an absolute mess. The Kansas City Chiefs are 13.5 point dogs at home. If you had that on your 2025 bingo card during the NFL season, congratulations. Taking on the Denver Broncos here, total at 36.5. No Mahomes, no Minshew. We'll see if we get number one wide receiver and Rice back. We'll see if we get the number one quarterback and McDuffie back. Chris Jones still on the injury report. Is Broncos team versus a checked out Chiefs team? What do you like here?
Broncos are nothing. I mean, think about this. Like, it's Christmas night. You have tickets to go to Arrowhead. There's nothing to play for. They just announced that they're moving the team, out of the area, away from Arrowhead, like to another state. Like, think about everything that the Chief fan is going through right now. And in all likelihood, you're not going to have Mahomes back week one. And then you have the Broncos coming to town. Broncos coming off a loss at home to Jacksonville with that defense, with your third string quarterback after you laid an absolute egg with Tennessee. Like, who's arguing? I understand everyone takes points in the National Football League. Who's making the argument to take Kansas City? And if you're a Chief fan going to Arrowhead on Christmas night, my question to you is, why? Go do something else. There's going to be nothing to watch there.
It's going to be cold. And the third-string quarterback, one pass attempt in the NFL at 28 years old out of South Dakota State prior to last week where he came in the game. There couldn't be a worse spot to face this Denver defense week two with your weapons that are downgraded here. This is a Chiefs offense that's, let's remember, has traditionally struggled against Denver with Patrick Mahomes and all your weapons healthy. I can't get behind the Chiefs here. To me, it's Denver or pass, and I probably will have a little bit of a nimble at Denver on this one just because of the timing of the football game. So I've got something to care about and throw on there and watch as the week, as that Christmas Day slate wraps up. It's a good Christmas Day of sports, though. We've got some good NFL games as well. There's other things to be able to watch if you don't want to lock in on football here. So, Mark, just to kind of wrap it up here, what are your favorite plays of this week?
Yeah, so I'm with you on the Saints. So my four picks, I went Saints minus the 3, Jaguars minus the 6.5, the Bengals minus the 7. And I'd actually, when I was chatting with Mike earlier in the week, I actually took Baker and the Buccaneers minus the 5.5 against Miami. So I'll take Baker and the Bucs minus 5.5. So Saints, Jags, Bucs, and Bengals all in the time, all favorites, all laying the points.
Yeah, my three favorite bets here, Dallas team total over 27.5. I think that offense is able to just dominate the Washington defense. Give me the Saints. I'll lay the 2.5. It's out there. If you can find the 2.5, lay it. I agree with Mark. If it's 3, you're laying the 3 anyway. I think the Saints just exponentially better. I'll take the Bears and the over as well. I like the Bears. Like, anytime I get the better defense in a game, I think it's going to be a shootout. I'm going to lean that direction. To me, that is the Bears, especially with the Kittle news and the Pearsall news. We'll see if they're going to be healthy. I'll add the Burrow prop as well. We talked about Trustin Burrow there. I agree with you. 261.5, way too low for Joe Burrow's passing yards. So let's take him over there as well, Mark. Appreciate you filling in. This was fun. We don't get to talk NFL enough. We're always talking horses together.
I know, but soon we'll be talking a little Derby, a little Preakness, Belmont, all that stuff. That's right around the corner, Mike. But it's a pleasure working with you, hopping in, filling in for Patrick this week. And you guys do an amazing job. But Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family.
You as well, Mark. You as well. We'll be texting on Sunday because we got Santa Anita pushed back from Friday to Sunday. So we get 6 stakes races and turf races as well. Check out VSiN at the track if you want to find out who we like in those races as well with me and Aaron Halterman. For Mark Malusis, I'm Mike Somich. He is Michael Cohen doing all the producing on the back end. Appreciate him working on a Christmas Eve as well. Happy holidays to you and yours. We will be back Sunday night after all of these games complete to talk about everything that happened and rip through the openers as well. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, and thank you for tuning in to Sharp Money.